Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get a premium finish with less odor and fumes for your painting project with Rust-Oleum's Low Odor Spray Paint. It provides a long-lasting, durable finish, making it perfect for indoor or outdoor projects. Save big on Rust-Oleum Spray Paints, now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 237 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Knowing Wheel returns this week to preview the Spanish Grand Prix. Of course, if you missed out on the podcast, we did on Tuesday, I want to say it was. Go back, check it out. We reviewed the best Monaco Grand Prix in a long old while, but today, we kickstart the show with some sad news. I haven't even told Jamie. I'm announcing this morning.
Oh, no.
But this is going to be our last podcast together for quite a while, actually, because as of next week, I'm being joined by American 183.
I was a bit worried for a second then. Am I just getting fired a minute into the podcast?
Live on air.
A bit peak, but no. I think it'll only be one or two, in the States. So I will be beginning each podcast with an American accent that will be horrendous. So any American viewers, get excited for that. Any British viewers, just make sure you skip a minute in before.
I still think you should start the show with like a gun shooting. What do they call it over there?
Oh, where they fire the cannons off the cliffs. That's a British thing, isn't it?
No, I just meant like when they celebrate, so they shoot into the sky.
Oh, I've no idea. I'll find out.
Which you can't do anymore. Wonderful. You're gonna start the next podcast with that. I assume, Jamie, once again, your setup, because I remember the last time you went to America, you had a lovely dead animal on the wall.
Oh, did I? You're right.
I assume that's going
to
be again.
It may be similar, to be honest. I'm staying in an American family's house, so who knows?
But yeah, so we do apologize. I know we mentioned this a couple of episodes ago, but we do apologize in advance. Jamie, like we said, is traveling to America. I'm hopefully going to be moving house. So things might be a little bit hectic. I'm sure we'll do a post show from Barcelona, but then we might have to take a week off whilst we all try and get settled back in. Exactly. Yeah. Most of my room now is already becoming boxes. It's really depressing when I go through videos and just like you can slowly see more stuff being taken
down. The bailiffs have been around. He's run out of money.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel like Lotus back in 2015. Just stuff's getting taken at the moment, but it's gonna be good. I'm excited for the new setup and everything like that. But Jamie, we actually need to go back to Monaco first of all because we forgot to give the race a rating. I'm going with a one. What are you?
No, it's better than one. We gave last year a
was
one.
It? Yeah, and this one had less overtakes.
Yeah, but it was more interesting, wasn't it?
Was it?
At least we had stuff to watch. If it was stupid,
did we?
I'll give it a generous three.
A generous three, dearie me. Well, there we go. I think that still easily ranks as our worst of the year, doesn't it?
It does.
You've got to keep track
four out
of the
20.
Scores. 4 out of 20 is not fantastic for Barcelona. For Monaco, even, I should say. We have also got one other quick thing that we didn't manage to talk about in the Monaco review show, which has caused quite an interesting stir, hasn't it, Jamie? And this is Alex Wurz, of course, in our opinions, the greatest standing Formula One driver that the 21st century has ever seen. I didn't know this until this week, but he actually owns like a circuit design company.
Yeah.
And he's been helping doing some work on the Qiddiya circuit with the Blade, that horrendous abomination.
With the roller coaster, Rainbow Road, yeah.
Well, exactly. So I'm slightly scared.
Saudi Arabia, but never mind.
No, you can't have Rainbow Road.
Yeah, Alex Wurz, who is also chairman of the GPDA, which is quite interesting.
He is. It's GDPA, I'm pretty sure.
No, it's Grand Prix Drivers Association.
Oh, I thought it was. I don't know what I thought it was.
Grand Drivers Prix Association.
I'm just dyslexic, apparently.
So he actually has some like weight to throw around. And people might actually listen to his ideas. Because he came up with three ideas for how to improve Monaco and put them on his story on Instagram, which is always a great way to start a petition. Two of them actually might do something. So I think Matt might throw them on the screen if I want to make his life difficult.
Oh, Lord.
The main one is basically to reclaim some land from the harbour by the Nouvelle Chicane, extend the strait out of the tunnel so that you then are breaking on the flat, turning still a chicane, so left and then right. But the problem is that currently is the harbour, so they'd have to reclaim a bit of land. But they do that all the time, Monaco. So it wouldn't be that hard. It's just a case of whether they want to lose a little bit of harbour space. But I don't know. I feel like an extra 50 metres of run to the chicane might make a difference. And also, if it's flatter than the downhill bit, that would probably make it easier for ascend as well. I don't know. I quite like that one. It's just a bit difficult because it involves a bit of land
reclamation. I still always want to know why we can't use DRS through the tunnel. Because there was a reason for it, wasn't there?
2011.
And obviously, we're not going to have DRS as of next year.
2011, it was because it was too dangerous. Because the tunnel at that time with the low downforce cars was still difficult.
Was it just flat, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, so it was flat out, but with DRS open, it was like flat out, but you'll be in a barrier. So yeah.
I guess it doesn't matter, of course, from next year, because obviously we won't have DRS.
Are we actually getting
anymore.
Rid of DRS? Has that been
confirmed? Yeah, we're getting rid of DRS, aren't we, for the Active Aero?
Oh, gosh. I don't like the sound of that.
So, that's going to be fun. So I guess that's kind of irrelevant then about trying to get a run on the car ahead of you down the hill. Because I always thought with DRS on these cars, it wouldn't make a huge difference, but it's a longer flat-out section than the front straight.
Yeah.
So it probably would help a little bit more.
Yeah. And I don't think it will make Monaco an overtaking fest, but I just think it takes the chance of an overtake with these massive cars from basically nil to slightly above zero. So, and if all it takes is to, you know, well, I say all, it costs a lot of money to reclaim land safely, but yeah, it's Monaco, isn't it? They've got money coming out of their ears, so I'm sure they could make it happen if they want to.
Possible in that part of the world.
Exactly. And I worry, there, I think Monaco is as a, what is it, a crown state?
Spectacle.
Or what do you call it?
Oh, sorry, yeah.
It's
yeah.
not a country.
No, it is. It's a principality.
It's a principality,
but it's still
yes.
a country.
It counts as a country. But they are no longer...
You know, it is a country. You can't suddenly claim that Monaco isn't a country.
They are not like the darling of Formula One that they used to be. So if they don't change things in the next 5 to 10 years, basically before their contract expires in 2029 or 31, when was it till? One of those 2 years. There's a genuine threat of it being dropped. And Monaco as a principality probably wants to avoid that. So
I cannot see the Monaco Grand Prix getting dropped.
I don't know. I feel like it would become...
I don't care that it's a snooze fest each year come Sunday afternoon. Qualifying in of itself makes it special enough still.
It does.
I'm sorry, but that's just the truth. You cannot ditch Monaco. It's been there since day one. It deserves to stay.
I
know there's a lot of newer fans that say, oh, well, it's boring and this, that and the other. Monaco's always been boring. This hasn't suddenly been something that's happened in the last 10 years.
It is true.
That Monaco's become boring. It's always been boring. But it's... the problem is, as we said so many times before, the problem is not the track, it's the cars. Make them far more challenging.
It's both
Give
the track
them 2,000
the
horsepower at Monaco. And just, it was a genuine idea that I thought about, Jamie, for Monaco, which I don't know how difficult it would be to implement because I'm trying to think of like the front wings and stuff. Why don't you give the cars much skinnier tyres?
I guess it just wouldn't be homologated to the rest of the season then, would it? But I think the aerodynamics
does that
have
matter?
A fit.
Yeah.
But it might work.
Probably. I'm sure the strategist had a fit the fact it was a two-stop Grand Prix.
I guess. But you like changing the tire, like the amount of stuff that's going on, like the furniture on the car that's designed to channel air around tires of this exact thickness.
Yeah.
I think if you halve the thickness, I think it would just ruin all of the cars, which would be quite a spectacle.
Yeah, but exactly. I think if you not even halve the tire width, but say reduced them by 30%, the grip drop off would be massive. And of course, that would make the circuit more of a challenge again. I'm trying to think, when Monaco was good...
What about groove tyres instead
then? Not good, sorry,
same
better.
Thickness.
Groove tyres as well could work. I just think that you've got to try and throw... I mean, the thing is, the two-stop strategies obviously didn't work. And there's kind of an element of how many different things do you try and throw at it until something works?
Before you make the car
smaller. Or do you just... Yeah.
The thing is, though,
before you just actually fix the cars.
The thing I worry about is if we somehow manage to plan a race in the 2014 F1 cars, which were an awful lot smaller than the current cars, but were still like
still safe. Not small.
They weren't small, but they were smaller for sure. I just think you would still get a handful of overtakes, if any, and they would all be down into the chicane. Because you look at the 1991 know better than me, 1991, when Mansell was ahead of behind Senna. Was that 92?
It was 92, yeah.
And those cars were tiny in comparison with modern cars. And the pace difference was huge.
They were quite wide, though.
Because Mansell caught Senna massively at the end of the race and then still couldn't pass it. Yep. Because, well, Senna was obviously driving well and defending very well, but it's still Monaco. It's still very hard to pass. And if you just cover the inside line at most corners, that's going to be enough. Unless you Hulkenberg against Lance Stroll, of course. Which was...
Hey, obviously.
Yes. So the other two things that Alex Wurz recommended were very minor. One of them was to basically do what they've done at Melbourne Turn 13 onto RASCAS.
Just reprofile it.
Reprofile RASCAS. I think that's a fine idea. Again, I don't think it will change much, but I think it's worth a go because if you just apex that corner a little bit and use the space on the left-hand side to make it wider, then suddenly you've got a slightly sharper braking zone. I don't hate that idea.
Damien and I were talking about this one pre-show. We also think to make that work, you need to go back to the old exit chicane of the swimming pool.
Yeah.
Like the much... Because that's the other problem, of course, now with Monaco is, yes, that corner is much quicker, but of course it then doesn't allow drivers to get a run on each other into RASCAS. Yeah. If you went back to the old style chicane, which in modern cars, they would pick up so many punctures.
They really would.
But would work fantastically.
Yeah. It would, because you need a bit of a traction zone, because then that adds an element of variability on the exit of that chicane.
Yeah.
Because if you nail your traction or if you've got fresher tyres, then suddenly you're like, your nose is pushing them along and you can try a little one down the inside or the outside into RASCAS.
Yeah.
And again, I don't think you're going to make it an overtaking fest, but it might, you know, it's all moves in the right direction, especially with cars that are 10 centimetres less wide next year.
Yeah. And I think the thing is as well, of course, with all this is Monaco is never going to be an overtaking fest, but what you can try and do is implement a couple of things that will allow overtaking to be possible, and that might then force drivers into mistakes a bit more often.
Exactly.
That's hopefully the big difference.
And to be honest, that's exactly what Spain did, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It felt like it was designed before to hamper overtaking, and now they've just opened it up a bit and made a few more opportunities. We've had a couple of good races in Spain the last 3 or 4 years.
Spain has... I mean, it was massively helped by the turn of the ground effect cars as well.
Yeah.
It has been massively helped. But I mean, even then, we did have 2022, which was on the old layout with the ground effect cars, and even that was still a bit of a snoozer.
Yeah.
But 23, 24 have actually been all right, and hopefully 25 will be the same. What was Wurz's third idea, Jamie? I remember those.
The Lowe's hairpin, just taking the pavement out and making it wider on entry.
I don't think that'll make a single
bit of difference, to be perfectly honest.
No, most likely not.
And also the effort, like, I've been on that curb. It is concrete and in the ground.
Oh, you could dig that up, though, for a weekend if you wanted.
If they really
wanted
to.
But you would lose part of kind of what makes, you know, that is...
Yeah, that shot is so iconic.
The pictures of the year. Yeah.
Of the lamppost in the
center. I loved the drone shot they had going at Monaco as well.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
That was cool. It felt like you're in a bit of a F125 replay camera. But
oh yeah,
that's quite cool.
But it was quite cool. Yeah, exactly. Shall we move over to Barcelona, Jamie?
Sure.
Let's be fair. There's only really one thing to talk about as we head to Barcelona. It of course is the new FlexiWing directive. Jamie has got all the information for us. So don't operate heavy machinery right at this moment because he will send you to sleep. Talk us through, Jamie. What are the new rules?
Right. I got this badly wrong in our preseason show because I was an uninformed fool. So now I'm going to quote what's on Formula1.com so that if
we know wheel, we don't know aero.
If I'm wrong, then you can blame whoever wrote this article on Formula1.com. So, the deflection allowance under a static load will be reduced from 15 millimeters to 10 millimeters. That is the statement. So what that means is the front wings are obviously mounted at the center points where it meets the front nose cone. They put a mass or a force on the edges of the front wings as far away from that point as possible. And it can deflect, which basically means it can bend downwards up to, well, it was 15 millimeters, which is 1.5 centimeters, which is actually fairly substantial, down to 10 millimeters, which is 1 centimeter. So they're basically making sure the wings are less flexible, but there's still some tolerance in there, of course. But all the talk of the town is, does this screw over McLaren? And that's been the talk of the town since pre-season testing. What do you think?
Well, Red Bull have said, haven't they, that they want it, if they thought they were within 25 points of McLaren, they had a chance still at the title. They are exactly 25 points back from Oscar Piastri in the World Championship standing. So hopefully that's going to make it interesting. I've got a little bit of a tinfoil hat theory for you, though, Jamie, which I've got no evidence to base this on. It's just what I think could have happened. I think McLaren might have been slightly scared by this and actually brought a front wing that was compatible with the new rules back at Imola, and they've been running that since, just to make sure that if suddenly they were a long way off the pace, that they've got a little bit extra time to sort it out. But I think that's why it felt like their advantage is completely diminished over the last couple of weekends. I know Monaco's weird and Imola kind of went well for Max when people weren't expecting it to, but I think McLaren are still going to be quickest overall. I think they've already made the change.
I don't think it would make sense to do that personally, because if you know your car is quickest under a certain set of rules which are going to change, you would just bank as many points as you can in those first
would
seven
you
races.
Potentially risk yeah but would you then potentially risk a lot more pain in the future? Why are the first eight races worth more than the remaining 16?
They're not, but if your front wing passes a test in the factory, you know it's going to be
I think if they were absolutely nowhere at Imola, then they could have brought the old wing back to Monaco. Absolutely, I think.
But then
that could have happened.
In that case, they're throwing away a race weekend out of their eight where they've got a big advantage. I don't think they would do that.
I think you're underestimating the power of future-proofing. Because that is what so much of Formula One has always been about, is the future.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no point.
Maybe BMW took it too far with 08-09.
Well, to be fair, it wasn't their fault the banks all collapsed.
Do you know what I found was a mad stat as well a couple of weeks ago? Which, I can't remember it perfectly, but it was something ridiculous. Like, after Kubica won in Canada, I'm pretty certain Heidfeld outscored him from then on to the end of the season.
Heidfeld was class.
It's
actually insane.
Heidfeld might... Well, I know we've said this many times before.
He was better than
Kubica. All our Polish
Shoot
viewers. Jamie, you're never going to Poland. Otherwise, you will be shot.
Heidfeld was better in 07, better in 09, and the one year that the BMW actually was the quickest, he was slightly worse.
He was worse throughout the first...
And even that Canada race, he should have won. But they gave him a dead strategy. So,
yep.
Justice for Heidfeld. I love German F1 drivers who just miss out.
2008 Canadian Grand Prix.
Yeah, I've got a soft spot for German F1 drivers who hold inconvenient stats.
Yeah, well, Nick Heidfeld still holds the record, I believe, for most podiums without winning Formula One.
He does.
And then proceeded to do exactly the same thing in Formula E.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is quite an impressive thing.
Yeah.
He's basically just a better Nico Hülkenberg.
And he was unfairly dropped for Bruno Senna. That was a little rubbish in 2011. Just because Senna
had money.
He
didn't bring the big bucks, though, did he? Yeah. Exactly. Money talks, Jamie. Money
it
talks
does.
In Formula One. That is not a new revelation. But anyway,
go back to
Flexi Wings.
Because
I think it's going to make such little difference.
I hope
people
you're
have
wrong.
Hyped this up, and I think it's going to make no difference whatsoever.
I really hope you're wrong. What would be really funny if a team like Ferrari was just screwed up.
That
over.
I would like. Oh, I want Ferrari to win, sorry.
No, I'm like, if a random team in the midfield just suddenly has no pace because they
Ferrari midfield?
Well...
It's not 20 over there, actually. They are, haven't they? They, on average, have been a tiny bit
ahead of Williams, exactly. I think Imola, I think your conspiracy is wrong. I'll put that out there. I think...
I'm not saying it's right. It's just a conspiracy.
I think the Red Bull is quick in high-speed corners and on high-speed corner tracks, such as Imola or Jeddah or hopefully
Imola isn't a particularly high speed.
It's medium high speed circuit, corners, isn't it?
Only a few of them.
No, almost all of them are high speed. You've got like two slow
speed. No, a lot of them are low speed. First chicane is low speed.
No,
second chicane I'll give you is medium high speed.
They're going through the first chicane.
Third chicane is. Tosa is slow.
Tosa's medium.
Top of the hill is medium. Aqua Mineral is medium.
You
next chicane is
different
slow. Final corners
for what
are slow.
Medium speed corners are.
Clearly, your threshold.
If
is
turn nine is
stupidity.
A medium speed corner, there's no such thing as a high speed corner.
Turn nine. Where are we
Imola,
thinking?
The left
the top of the hill.
Yeah.
Hang on a minute. I'm thinking of somewhere like Silverstone. It's got high speed corners.
If turn nine's medium speed, then like Copse is medium speed as well.
No, it Copse is 190 miles an hour flat out.
Yeah, turn nine.
Wait, yeah.
It's a downshift.
It's two downshifts. You don't know Formula One anymore, man. It's like two or three
right.
downshifts.
Let us know in the comments. The corner after Tosa, Imola, medium speed or high speed? I think it's high speed.
It's medium speed at most.
At most? What are you saying? It's low.
Shocking. No, I'm just saying it's medium speed.
Right. Anyway, I think the Red Bull is strong on those kind of circuits. Barcelona is another one of those circuits. So I'm thinking, regardless whether the technical directive makes a difference or not, Max should be there with the McLarens anyway this weekend. And if
possibly.
The technical directive has screwed it over, then we might get a dominant victory, which would be great. Yeah, we'll see.
It could happen. So is that your prediction? Is it that Max Verstappen is going
to
win?
I'm going to put
weekend?
Max to win, yeah, and I'm not even joking.
Okay. I rate it. Yeah, that's basically all there is to discuss about Spain, isn't there, currently? I'm sure by the time this podcast goes out, three drivers have been sacked and Alpine have announced that, I don't know, who's
they're
going into the
17th seat. Technical race director.
Yeah, the race director?
Wait.
Alpine have got a race director?
Well, Flavio was in 2008, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, I suppose. Should we do predictions, Jamie? I can do my quiz. Let's do my quiz. I'm scared. Jamie had to do maths.
I didn't. It wasn't really maths. I heard a stat during the Monaco Grand Prix commentary that made me surprised. But sadly, I couldn't find the stat online anywhere, so I had to work it out myself. The stat was the Spanish Grand Prix marks 210 races since Fernando Alonso last won a race. And
yeah,
actually, I now remember why I'm confused, because I thought the stat was 250 races, which it will have been, because Alonso's missed two seasons in there.
Yeah,
but
it would have been.
I've made the quiz for 210, so we're going to go with that.
Okay.
Because there are 19 Formula One drivers who have raced more than 210 races.
Oh, okay. This is not where I thought this was going.
So
I've just got to get
all of them. You've got to get all of them, and you've got a minute and a half.
A what? No.
Okay.
19, a minute and a half. Can't I just try and
you
get
can just
them
try and
until
get
I get one
but
wrong?
But don't take the mess. Exactly. Until you get one wrong. That's a good shout,
19.
Actually. Okay.
Eh?
Until you get one wrong.
Okay. So, obviously, Fernando Alonso. Does he count
yes.
as one?
Yeah, he's top.
And he's one of the 409. Okay. He has. Kimi Raikkonen.
Yep. Third place.
Lewis Hamilton.
Yep, second place.
Rubens Barrichello.
Yep, you're pretty much going in order here. Fourth.
Okay. Schumacher.
Which one?
Of the Michael
yep.
variety, of course. I'm trying to think. Sebastian Vettel.
Yep.
Hülkenberg's got to basically be there, hasn't he? 210. Oh, yeah, Hülkenberg will be in there, surely.
He is. 235.
Yep. I was going to say, yeah, should be just over. Sergio Perez.
Yep.
What's his name? I don't want to get it wrong. Oh, that's going to annoy me. I've got De Cesaris in my head, but I can't remember if that's the right guy, whether I'm getting him muddled up with something else. Because I know it was Barrichello beat out someone who had 256 starts.
You are correct.
I can't remember who it was. Oh, okay, that's all right then.
Well, no, you're correct that he did do that, but it wasn't the Jesuits.
Oh, right, okay. It wasn't De Cesaris. That's good then. I didn't officially guess that one. I'm trying to think who did he beat out, but we'll get back to that. It's just basically modern drivers, isn't it? Ricardo?
Yep.
Verstappen?
Verstappen sneaks in.
I was going to say that one, actually. As soon as I said it, I was like, oh.
217 man. For Verstappen.
So Carlos Sainz as well, then.
Correct. He is the 19th
driver.
We'll
sneak in. Yep. How many have I got so far?
There are 8 left. So you're on 11.
8 left. Okay. So I can't have anyone from 2016 onwards because there just hasn't been enough races in that time. I don't believe.
Yeah.
Wait, how many do you say Max has had? 237?
217.
Oh, 217. Yeah, definitely not then. No one kind of stepped in halfway through 15 that stayed, aka Alexander Rossi. who's been here since the start of the hybrid era? It's really awkward. Obviously, Magnussen came in.
You'll
but
know
he's
like
out
all
years.
Of these names, obviously.
I will know all of them because, of course, they'll be household names. They've done over 210 Grand Prix.
There's one driver in here who's done 300 races.
Have I forgot? Oh, Jenson Button, of course.
There you go.
See, I knew there was a couple of random ones I was forgetting, like Journeyman, that were kind of there at a weird time. Massa definitely didn't, or did he? No, he was there for 13 years. But I don't think the seasons were long enough. Back in Deer. Yeah, I think Massa might have been just under that threshold, I feel like. You know what's really annoying me? I keep going back to the Rubens Barrichello one, and I remember watching on the F1 2008
DVD. It was
DVD.
Turkey, wasn't it? I remember exactly what you're talking
about.
It was
Turkey. Yeah. And it's really annoying
me. Who was
he
sat with?
Was he sat with him?
There was a picture of them both with a pit board, and it said 257
I remember the
GPs.
Pit board. I don't remember him being sat with him, though. Whoever it was, this mysterious man that I cannot remember the name of.
I'm going to put you on a clock here.
What? No.
You're taking so long. Hurry up.
How much time have I got left?
I'll give
you. How many answers, sorry, have I got left?
There yeah. are seven left.
Seven left? Felipe Massa?
Yes. He's ninth.
Valtteri Bottas.
You're like, I don't think he'll make it. He's ninth place. Yes, Bottas.
Bottas as well. Wonderful. Getting a few.
Five now. Left.
Mark Webber?
Yes. Sneaks in.
Okay.
He is 18.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was close, actually. What is this Rubens Barrichello? Who did he replace, man? Was it De Crasheris? Oh, that's going to really bug me so
Four
much.
Left.
Four left. I'm trying to think. It's got to mainly be modern drivers and whoever that man is. K-Mag can't have done, can he, surely? He missed 15 and 21. Or was it 20? No, it was 21, wasn't he, missed? That Stroll surely isn't there yet. No, he can't be. 2017, there's not a chance. That Stroll's
not there.
He's got to be close, though.
He is 34th in the all-time
starts. He's got to be close. That is so depressing. Four more.
Stroll's got more race starts than Ayrton Senna.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Quick Nick Heidfeld, I don't think was there.
Nick Heidfeld is incorrect.
No,
that's your quiz done. Because you've taken
what forever. I said he wasn't there.
Yeah, what? How many wrong names do you want to say? All right, I'll give you. Hints.
I said he wasn't there.
You got 30.
Okay.
You got 15 out of 19. Two of them.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure were teammates to Alonso. The four that are left.
Were they?
It's one of them. Absolutely was.
Fisichella didn't.
Fizzy did.
Did he?
229 races.
Oh yeah, he was really there for a long time.
Started early 90s.
Fizzy's
yeah.
one of those. I'd say Fizzy's one of those bizarre ones that kind of started at a really awkward time and just spent like 4 years under the radar.
Yano Trulli.
I did think of Yano, but I thought he'd be up around the 200 mark.
252. He's up in 12th. The one you're forgetting, you're gonna kick yourself.
I am.
Ricardo Patrese.
Ah, that's annoying. Yeah.
And the fan favourite last one, David Coulthard.
David Coulthard, damn it! I knew I should have got DC.
There we go.
I'm adamant between us, he just actually never existed.
It wouldn't be a quiz if we didn't forget David Coulthard.
He's just Formula One's most anomalous driver.
Fun fact...
I can't believe Lando Norris has broken his record for most McLaren starts.
From those 19 drivers, 18 of them have won a race, which is mad. And the one who hasn't even finished on the podium.
It's just Nico Hülkenberg.
It is.
It is somewhat impressive because I'm not trying to like throw shade at Hülkenberg here because he absolutely deserves to be on the grid. But it's quite impressive. You kind of look at someone like Valtteri Bottas and go, "That's happened to Hülkenberg. Yet he's been able to come back of kind of good, but probably could have been dropped at various points.
Well,
but somehow Hülkenberg just
times,
finds
a
way back. Exactly." Just kind of keeps finding a way back in.
Yeah, I'm concerned.
I think Bottas
because
could come
the
back.
Salva is really limiting what you can do as a driver, so no one's talking about him.
Yeah, but he knows Audi's his last chance.
Yeah. Yeah. But we shall see. But I'm amazed that, yeah, the top 20 race starts have all won a race, apart from the guy in 15 who's not even got a podium.
That, yeah, I suppose that Hülkenberg is the surprise there. Because let's be fair, if you don't win Grand Prix, you don't stick around.
True.
That's just kind of the way it works.
True. I didn't spot that. Andrea De Cesaris was actually 21st, so you almost were in there.
How many starts has he had then?
208. That's a lot of starts.
Oh, okay.
Probably crashed in 150.
Perhaps it was... I was going to say, perhaps it was Patrese overtook the record from De Cesaris.
I imagine
it would
have been.
Well, I suppose like Alain Prost is probably
been,
not that far
or Berger.
Away.
Berger was up there too.
Yeah, God, Berger was there for a while.
Right. That's enough talking about the 90s.
We could definitely do a 2000s F1 podcast
as
well.
Oh, for sure. Just
that'd be great fun.
Gaslight Nick Heidfeld into being the
case. If we had more time, if we had more time to do these, I would love to do that kind
little
of podcast
2008
well.
Watch along. Felipe Massa was robbed.
Oh, it'd be fantastic. Fantastic. Predictions, Jamie. What are the scores on the doors after
they
we
are
left Monaco? I closed in on
them,
you didn't
me.
I? Yep.
And 22 to you after I had a bit of a shocker. But I'm still 5 ahead, so that's fine.
Okay.
No sprints this weekend.
Nope, fantastic. I didn't realise, Jamie, Austria isn't a sprint this year.
Oh, I just presumed
it's
it
Belgium
was.
Again. I didn't realise it had swapped back to Belgium.
Oh, fair enough.
It really. I was doing F1 career mode. I got to Austria and was like, oh, it's a sprint weekend. And then got in and was like, they've accidentally deleted the sprint. So I had to Google it.
Cody's got it wrong.
Yeah, exactly. It honestly wouldn't surprise me at this point. Lando,
you
Oscar,
are
Max. Yep. I need the points.
As I said, we'll go.
What are you saying? You're saying Max.
I'll say Max on the whole Max win.
Oh.
I will go.
Maybe this is where Mercedes become OP.
Mercedes have been good historically at Spain, haven't they?
They have actually, now I've said it. Damn it.
I'll go Piastri, and then I'll go George Russell. Norris.
Okay, Lando Norris, not the
one race.
The Lando Norris era is back, ladies and gents, and the Lando Norris era is over
it
once
is.
Again.
And that means that if it's a McLaren 1-2, I still get Piastri right. So.
It depends if it's a 1-2 that way
true.
Around.
True.
If it's a 1-2 the other way around, I get 4 points.
Disrespect to Oscar Piastri from myself. But he's championship leader. 3 points
exactly.
clear.
Exactly.
Yeah, we'll see if that's still the case after the race weekend.
We certainly will. Have we got anything else to add, Jamie? I think we've rattled through everything.
I think we've done well.
Wonderful. Thank you all, as always, so much for listening. Please do make sure you get yourself subscribed. What are we up to? We're like at 911 subscribers. So please do, if you're listening, hit that sub button. It'd be greatly, greatly appreciated. We need to get a K, then we can start doing an F1 2008 podcast. It'll be fantastic. Jamie, I wish you safe travels to the United States of America. Don't get shot, so don't fly back to Poland you now. And we will be back, hopefully, at some point in the near future. Like we said, we apologise in advance. It might be all over the show. But we will return, because, of course, Jamie and I, no wheel. Ish.